Opposed? Golf cart parking, cool, there we go, H2.
Ron.
Golf cart parking at H and G.
Well, we just, we looked at all of them.
Okay.
We're gonna walk down every one of them. So except for E, we can, yeah, have a recommendation for all of them, without eliminating any parking spaces.
Well, just H and G, because they have that wall, but they
have
this wall.
That's why I told you, I said I was ready, sorry, I'm anchor.
You are no longer muted.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, July 20th, 2020, and this is the regular Town of Curie Beach Council meeting. First of all, I would like to ask John to lead us in the invocation and a pledge of allegiance.
If you'll all join me in prayer. Lord, we come to you today asking for your guidance, your wisdom, your support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion. Allow us to grow closer as a group and nurture the bonds of community. And fill us with your grace as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Curie Beach. Continue to remind us that all that we do here today, all that we accomplish, should be for the good of the entire Curie Beach community. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, gentlemen, we move on to the approval of the consent agenda items. Do we have any suggested changes to the consent agenda? If there are no changes, I would accept the motion.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. No questions?
Mr. Mayor, before we vote, I think we should recognize and thank Bill Moore for his service on the P&Z board since his resignation is part of that. So maybe you, Bill's been a valuable part of that P&Z board. So just want to make that comment.
I would think that the liaison for the planning and zoning would send a letter to Bill thanking him for his service.
I think that'd be a good idea.
I can do that.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Consent agenda is approved as stated. Adoption of the standard agenda. Any recommended changes?
Make a motion we adopt the agenda as presented.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the agenda is accepted. Committee business, I suspect, will be light since many of the committees are not meeting during this period of time. Yes?
You skipped five presentations, which will be public comment. Normally, that's public comment.
Should someone sign up? That's what?
I don't have anything. I don't have any emails.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I have to ask? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
So we have to ask for what?
If someone's on the phone and wants to say something.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, fine. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. We don't have it on the agenda here because people aren't here in person.
Right.
All right. Okay. Now I understand what you mean. Okay. Do we have anybody who would like to address council?
*6 if you're on mute.
Was it sent to you?
via text?
No, I don't have any comment.
Oh.
But we just skipped it, so I was just didn't.
Okay. All
just
right.
Making sure we do the right thing.
That's right. Just keeping us out of trouble.
Okay. Keep us out of trouble. It is not. It's not on the agenda list here, but you're right. It should be. Okay. There aren't any questions, then let's move on. Presentations. No presentations. Committee business. So the committee business, like I was mentioning earlier, is generally quite light. So community center committee has not met and will not meet, I think, until August.
September, I think, that was early.
Okay. I know that the barbecue is another casualty of this particular disease. Marketing committee, John, you have any input from marketing?
Well, we have met. I mean, we did, our last council meeting approved the budget change for the marketing committee.
Okay. I know that the chair of the Chamber of Commerce is going to come to see council in the next 90 days about a community visitor center. To be shared by.
I talked a little bit about that. I was going to do it in commission writings, but under marketing,
yeah,
there is a plan to actually have a visitor center. They've got dedicated space in the corner of the lobby at the Carolina Beach Town Hall, right across from the Chamber of Commerce office. It's already stocked with a lot of brochures and things like that, but their plan that they are drafting is to actually man it, but that will not be a payroll cost because it will be manned by people from the community, businesses, the Chamber of Commerce Board. Like you say, Mayor is here about 90 days when they have the plan drafted, and that volunteers with you on the phone to be the community liaison to that group. So I start flat following their actions. I talked to them today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So they're not going to ask for money?
They will probably
ask for money.
They want to put a sign up there on that property advertising that there is actually an open visitor center.
They will, for people who stop, highlight the differences in the town rules, which could be a little helpful. Dogs on the beach, parking, etc. Okay, the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee, I don't believe they're meeting.
They're having Zoom calls, but look, everything's just...
Everything's...
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Hello? This is Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Shoreline Access, Beach Protection. I just want to say that we have not been conducting business. But I did want to thank Public Works for putting up the replacement sign panels that were delaminating. I haven't had a chance to thank them. But Southern Sign replaced all the panels that were delaminating at their cost. And Public Works put them up very, very quickly. So I just want to thank them for doing that.
Okay. And thanks for the ongoing work with... what's going on relative to the beach, ambassadors and whatever else that may be meeting.
Yeah, we're still working with the beach, Adopt the Beach program is still up and running. So.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for your service and your team. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, this is Craig Albright, chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, Craig.
The two items that you have, we both mentioned in the public hearing that you just conducted, having to do with the handicap grants, and that you have both definitions as well as the ordinance change for Chapter 15.
Okay. And I believe we'll be dealing with that later on in the, we're dealing with it here. Okay, so it's not moved into new business. All right, well then let's deal with it here. Since we had no comments and we have this written, we need to accept. So I would need a motion to accept and then a motion on the consistency statement.
So there's four things here we're voting on?
Just the two.
With Stars Volume?
Yes, with the Stars. The proposed text amendment to Chapter 15, Article 2. Okay. And the proposed text amendment to Chapter 15, Article 36.
I make a motion we approve proposed text amendment to Chapter 15, Zoning, Article 2, Section 10, proposed text amendment to Chapter 15, Zoning, Article 36, Section 10.
I'll second.
Any questions? Since we just went through the public meeting, I would assume no. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we.
And then second motion for, to accept proposed text amendment to Chapter 1, Article 4, and General Provisions, Section 10. That's it.
I'll second the second.
What, the next one I think Craig wants to address, but there's three text amendments for that one.
Yeah, he's proposing to accept one, which I agree with, and then the other one, which we need to talk about because I can't find the after amendment for the...
For the livestock and exotic
animals. Exotic animals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it, you know, perhaps I can explain this. It's fairly simple. About a year ago, town council passed a exotic animal ordinance. And when that was originally passed, there was both definitions, and typically you have definitions, for example, the definition of an exotic animal. And then we also had the approval by the town council of the actual ordinance. About 2 months ago, somebody asked me, well, what's the definition of an exotic animal? And so I went actually into the published ordinance and found that the definitions never got put into the ordinance, even though it was passed by the town council about a year ago. So what this is simply correcting that. We're not changing anything. We're simply adding the definitions back into the ordinance. But rather than doing it in Chapter 1, which is what the approval was back about a year ago, since the Animal Service and Control Chapter to Chapter 19, we're recommending putting the definitions in Chapter 9 along with the ordinance. But this doesn't change anything. It simply corrects the mistake that was made in not having the definitions actually put into the ordinance when the town council had actually approved it, going back in minutes.
Thank you for that background, Craig. That's quite helpful. Okay. So, do we have a motion?
Do I need to read the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Proposed text amendment to Chapter 9, Article 06, and Section 15 for exotic livestock and exotic animals.
I'll second that now. We've had explained.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
And then the last one, to accept proposed text amendment to Chapter 9, Animal Services and Control, Article 6. Livestock and Exotic Animals, Section 100, Violation, Enforcement, and Penalties.
I'll second that as well.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Now I believe we have to approve the consistency statements. There's only one, and it's, yeah, the clarification doesn't require one. The other one requires one. So we need a we need to have the consistency statement for the disability ramps as a motion.
I make a motion to approve the consistency statement as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that cleans that up, and that'll be... much easier to handle now. Historical Preservation Commission, I don't believe we have any input there. Pedestrian Committee.
Well, just a little background.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have, based upon the approval of the county council, put out an advertisement for an architect to assist us with some of the writing of the designation report. We had a conference call with four different architects that showed interest in it. We asked them to submit just a one or two page proposal. The deadline was today, I believe, is what we said, and I know we have at least one interested proposal, and we'll be looking at that in our August Historic Preservation Commission meeting.
So only one came in? Is that what you have in your hand right now?
Only one came in as of the last time I looked, which was about a week ago. We might have had one last couple days.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty exciting. It would be very interesting to see what they came up with. Since we did
right.
not
and
have...
And this is just to get the contract, to get some assistance in terms of helping us with the designation report.
Right. Okay. Good. Anything else, Greg? Sorry, I moved on ahead of you there. Should have asked you first.
No problem. No, that's it from the Historical Preservation Commission.
Okay. Pedestrian Committee, Alan?
Yeah, I don't know if Mo's on the line, but we are meeting by conference call. They have planned a walkabout in the community to look at some things and come up with ideas, but there's a training we need to do in advance of that, and we really need to have a face-to-face or a committee meeting, you know, together. So all the stuff that's going on with COVID, we've just kind of put that on hold, and we're continuing to move forward and try to get ideas together so when we're ready to go to work. So.
Okay. Reading through the minutes and looking at the detail that was sent for the last meeting, it does look like they're on a good path here.
Yeah, I think they are.
They're moving right along. So thanks to Mo and team, and thanks to you, Alan. Land Use Plan Committee, Joseph?
We had a meeting scheduled for July, but I canceled it. We only had two people put in for the citizen positions that we on there, so I'm hoping that we can get, by delaying it, we can get perhaps more people to submit an application, because I'd like to have a robust group to choose from. So I canceled it till August, right? Yeah.
Are we going to republish request?
Yeah, that's right. Kind of taking care of it.
I have a name of someone who's interested in supporting some activities in the town. I'll give it to you as well.
Okay.
Okay. Department head business, starting with administration. No new business?
No.
Building Inspection Department.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just want to give you guys a brief update on 1,004.5 beach access. It is basically completed. There's a few odd things that the contractor needs to finish up as of today. I took some pictures of what we've got going on, so I wanted your input. Specifically, if you could scroll down to the bottom of the picture. This is one of the areas that still needs to be tightened up. You can see the unleveled dirt, and concrete refuse, all that good stuff. Other areas of town, we have gravel in this area or some sort of high-risk ramp. That's what was in the job description that the contractor undertook, and that's what we've got. We've got to clean it up some still, but right now, that's what's there. Do you guys have any interest in changing that up and putting something different there? Or I'm just kind of looking for a little bit of direction there before I tell the contractor we don't need them anymore.
So are we finished, John, with the exception of just cleaning this up a little bit? We're finished? Ramp's open. Excellent.
Well, kind of been open because people keep opening it. That's been closed, and they're tearing down barricades.
Well, I definitely think the contractor needs to clean the mess up.
And he's not done with that.
And then, just from there out to the streets, how many feet from that edge of that concrete?
I think it's about 14 feet, I believe.
And we don't really need that, but there's this sand in there. What would you think?
I almost wish
we access it needs something firmer than that.
I almost wish we would have poured concrete all the way to the street. What he did there is exactly what was in the plan.
Yeah, that is the plan. Now, you're right, I mean, you're going to have washout, erosion, you're going to have problems here.
Do we have pipes that run underneath there, Jimmy? Is water pipes on that side? Because if you do that, there may be pipes underneath there.
There is.
There's at least a stormwater pipe, and there's probably a water line that goes underneath there. So putting concrete.
That's no different than the driveway.
Okay.
I'm just throwing out
a. No, that's fine.
I'm with you. I thought it was going to come to the road anyway.
Yeah.
But it, like I said, it's no different. I was having to cut up a driveway when we had to.
Okay.
And hopefully we won't.
I mean, if that's what the bid package shows. They should do what the bid package did, right? So that's pretty straightforward.
Is
would gravel? Oh, that's how the bid package was. It didn't come to the streets, what you're saying.
I mean, would gravel be a problem instead of something hard surface if we have need to get to it?
Well, in the spirit of what that ramp is supposed to be, I would think the hard surface would be more practical.
Hard surface would be more practical.
Right. Yeah. Just be on the safe side.
Well, I know it's for wheelchairs and things like that. I guess it depends on the size of the pebble. But in any case, if we take a look at it, and let's John, you give us. Do you have a recommendation for us to take it to the? Is that what you'd like to talk about?
The contract. Well, the job was awarded based on the bid documents. So
right.
The bid documents. So if I ask him to pour concrete all the way to the street, he's going to ask for a change order.
Yeah, which you should.
That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
It'll be 30 days before we have another council meeting to move forward with that.
Right.
So
okay.
You guys want to give me a little latitude there, or do you want Jimmy to check into it? Maybe Jimmy finish it up. You tell me. I'm just kind of bringing up a deficiency in my opinion.
So the question would be, do we want the
architect? So this is Bannon speaking. What about a headers ramp or something like a headers ramp leading into it?
That was brought up also.
Which is the cost-effective and safest?
I think cheaper. The cheaper route would probably be the concrete, just because of the labor to put together a headers ramp.
And then it'll match up, right? You can make it so it's level, and then Jimmy doesn't have to fix it in a year and a half.
Most of our other beach accesses that have gravel parking lots do have a headers ramp access right there at the beginning.
Right. Then I guess my suggestion would be that you and Jimmy, council can weigh in on this, talk about whether you think we should have the contractor do it, or is that something that Jimmy and his team could do rather quickly? I don't know the answer to that.
I think we want the contractor to do it with all the work that Jimmy's got on right now. I mean, if this was late fall or early spring, but with everything that's going on right now.
It's peak season.
I think council should just direct John to work with the contractor and get the concrete to the street and move on. Hopefully, do you have any idea how much they're going to ask on the change order? I mean, I think Jimmy could weigh in that's out of bounds maybe, but John probably knows how much concrete is anyway, so he doesn't need any help on that.
Well, we basically got two choices. We can go ahead and finish up the contractor, or we can just hire somebody to do it without going through the contractor.
Yeah.
I mean, there are two ways. You know, I can see which way is cheap.
I'm fine with that, but from my standpoint, I mean, Harlan's going to be sad, but let's just fix it right and move on.
Is there additional
We'll have to do a budget amendment because really,
that's right.
There's nothing in that, and that's a separate fund, so we definitely, before we can proceed, we have
to
do a budget.
Right.
So I'd imagine there's no recourse in the grant.
No.
No, I mean, that's a locked in amount. It's just more, it's going to be more out of pocket.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So let's have a motion and John work with the contractor, if that's the will.
Well, can you go to the next picture real quick? I just want to show you what's already happened. This one, before the concrete was cured, we had a.
Someone said to write their name in.
That's right.
Nice. Too bad we can't track them down.
Yeah, Ron.
Would you have, after everybody in town with those initials?
People at every piece of concrete we ever poured to keep that from happening. And you got a choice of paying somebody to sit there or.
That's right.
That's true.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm happy to work with contractor Jimmy, whatever you guys want to do. I'm just. That's going to hold everything up until we can get a decision on the money part.
Oh, that's, I'm worried about him saying he doesn't have the time to do it right now, frankly.
Do you have a rough idea on the dollar amount?
What do you think, Jim? I won't say $2,000, and that's $2,000 tops.
I'd say a little more. I would say around four.
I'll see that.
Give the building inspector permission to not exceed $4,000 to get the best bid to complete this job.
Second.
Any questions? Statements? Okay. We have all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Harlan, do you need a budget amendment for that? Or can we wait until afterwards and do it at the next meeting?
We can do it afterwards. Okay.
I don't want to slow down the work, that's why I'm asking.
I can bring that next.
So, within that, John, that allows you to get it done as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Whether you use the same contractor or if there's somebody else to use.
Yeah. So I just took a couple other pictures just to show you guys if you haven't been out there.
What does it look like out? Do you have more out?
I've got some more.
Okay.
Can you go to the next one? This is also not part of the construction document, so the seating area, I asked the contractor to add that, and he did that for us. That's on both sides of that viewing platform.
Okay.
And then here's a picture I wanted to show you guys at the end of the ramp.
Well, that won't work.
Well, it doesn't look like that now.
No, we'll put
it. It does look like that now.
It does?
Yes, sir. So these plans were drawn and to specific elevations. The contractor did that work. That sand migrated away from that area over the last couple of days. Chief Kennedy texted me on Saturday and said that we'd already had some complaints on it. He sent lifeguards over there with shovels and they filled it back up. I spoke to the contractor about that this morning again, and he said that he's already done it once, and I told him he had to do it at least one more time before I would accept the project. But it's going to be a reoccurring problem. We have other ADA ramps that have the same issue, so I just kind of wanted to point it out there. With all that traffic, that sand's going to move around. So if you how often you guys go down to Oceanfront Park, but I think it's like about once a week, it's about like that.
Right.
Okay, we're going to have to keep an eye on that. You're right, that's going to happen frequently, probably.
Well, then at the other end, is that just that because we did it at a year at the end of beach renourishment and still the beach is moving around? Because E Avenue is the other way, it's getting buried.
They brought the access out to the frontal dune.
Yeah. Right.
It came out to where it's supposed to come. It can't come any further.
Right.
And the way those elevations worked out, that's where it landed. And it's just going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to have to.
Okay.
We'll have to think about this and get some ideas. Can't have somebody rolling down there and thinking they're going to and launch the off the end of that thing with a wheelchair.
I'm going to have the guard of that tower bring a shovel every day and just make it part of daily duties, but that only corrects it during the season.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we need to make sure
we do it. We'll bring a backhoe out and pile it up first. That's what we do in Oceanfront Park every 2 weeks now. So
you'll get a pile of stuff in the area.
Yeah,
and then
we'll have to take a backhoe out there and, we do it about once every 2 weeks now.
All right.
So.
Okay.
And it'll have the lifeguards check it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
That's all I had.
Well, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're ready for the garbage can out there, right? There it is. There's a book section come on the side.
Finance department?
Oh, have one item, which is relates to the governor's executive order 124 that then was extended to 142 regarding disconnections of water and sewer service. That is going to expire on July 29th, and it's been stated that it will not be renewed, so that'll be the end of it, but it means a couple things for us. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, council was aware of those things and on board with kind of what I'm planning on doing. So the first thing is that any accounts that have passed due amounts prior to March 31st, the plan is to mark those bills for disconnection so that the account owners would have until August 15th to pay the part of the bill that relates to prior to March 31st. If they don't, their service would be disconnected. And this all complies with the requirements of this executive order.
How many do we have?
My guess is, rough guess is about 12.
Wow, okay. It's more than I thought.
They're ones that really would have been cut off.
Exactly. Well, right. Yes, sir.
Time. The next part of it is to identify accounts that have passed due amounts that relate to the time period between March 31st and July 29th. Those, we are required to offer the account owners a payment plan, given that they have a minimum of 6 months to pay off that balance. So we will identify those customers and offer a payment plan. What I'm going to propose is something simple, which would just be equal payments over the next 6 months. But besides the payment of the past due amount, also paying the current balance due each month. If there's a violation of the payment plan, then they would be subject to disconnection. And ideally, we'll get people to sign off on these payment plans. So that'll be the approach there.
Yeah, a bunch of those, or you don't know how many of those.
It's hard to judge right now exactly.
Okay.
We're going to have to kind of sort through. But I want to make sure that we start this process, you know, at the end when we issue the July bills.
Okay.
So again, I just want to make sure in case there's any feedback from residents that if they were to get notice about potential disconnection, you know, we are complying with the all parts of this executive order.
Okay. I don't have any issue with what plan you expect to take here, Arlen. I mean, how does Trust Council feel about that? You have consensus for Arlen to proceed?
Okay. Can you copy Council on 12 that you sent out disconnected notice for the addresses?
Sure.
And when we do we know if they're occupied residents or not? I don't know if you know that. I mean, I guess Jimmy might know.
Yeah, I'm sure we can figure it out. So,
if you could just let us know if they're occupied or not. I know there's one that I understand why you're canceling out, but the other 11 I'm just a little interested in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Arlen?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Fire department?
No updates, sir.
No updates. Police department? Yep. What you got, Brandon?
Council Mayor, how are you guys? I'm going to introduce myself for those who are listening that may not know me. I'm Brandon Bailey. I'm an investigator with the Curie Beach Police Department, and I am here to introduce the Community Camera Program. Community Camera Program is a partnership with our residents and business owners in a joint effort to fight criminal activity. The goal is to compile a list of homeowners and business owners within our community who operate security cameras on their properties. With that compiled list, we would know who we could contact should a crime or incident occur in or around an area where residents or business operate security cameras. This is a completely voluntary program. No one's going to be required to participate. The method of providing the captured footage to the police department would be a simple process by simply just burning a copy of the footage to a disk, thumb drive, flash drive, and turning the footage over to the police department. The benefits for this program to law enforcement is to eliminate the process of trying to piece together if a business or home has a security camera that could have captured vital footage related to one of our investigations. With this program, we would already have that information and know who to contact to acquire the footage. Should a resident or a business owner choose to participate in this program, they may either obtain a community camera program brochure, which you guys have a copy of, from the Curie Beach Police Department, which will provide an explanation of the program and also contain a registration form. Or you can go to the Town of Curie Beach's website, hopefully soon, and click on the Police Department page and follow directions to the Community Camera Program online registration form. We believe this partnership between the Curie Beach Police Department and the community we serve will help us as a team to deter and fight crime. Thank you, guys. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I guess a statement on my particular point. I would like the people to really take a look at this program and consider if something had occurred with their family or their property, if they would not like people to participate in finding out what the problem was, who the problem was. So, thanks. Anybody have comments?
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
When you handed this out mm-hmm. a few days ago, when I took it to give an extra copy to the president of my homeowners association, and we talked about it a little bit. She was very excited about it. It was a great program. But the next day she called, and the real question is the link on the police department up and running? Because she had trouble.
Not yet. It's not yet. Yeah, I'm hoping after we get this approved, hopefully that we'll get that going.
Okay. Thank you.
So is this tailored after other communities?
Yes, there are other communities that have implemented this with level of success.
So do y'all plan on going out to the HOAs or just by word of mouth, or do you have areas that you already know there are cameras you're going to ask to pick up?
There are areas where we're already aware where cameras are, such as some of the businesses, but yes, we plan on going to the HOAs and advertising.
Good deal. I think it's a great idea.
Matter of fact, it doesn't give the police access to your camera.
That's
right. It just allows the police to ask you if you would share whatever video may have occurred.
We can't remote in
right.
and
so
watch what's going on.
It's really a good program. It's not a Big Brother program, it's a help
That's
program.
Right.
Good. Do you need approval, Chief? Is that what you're looking for?
Right.
Make a motion we approve the establishment of the community camera program by the Curie Beach Police Department.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Brandon. Good idea. Public Works, Jim. Bless you.
Good afternoon, Council. First thing I would like to speak about would be the stormwater management plan that Public Works has been working on since we got the audit. We give Commissioner Haber a progress report on it today. There's a few things that we still have to work out yet, which we're actually working on. But we'll be looking for council's input probably sometime next week when we get up with the stormwater committee that we're trying to get a hold of now. As you guys noticed, there was a big hole down on 4th Avenue that we had to get a storm sewer repair done. It's complete outside of the asphalt, which needs to be, it has to settle for a couple of weeks. So we'll keep an eye on the gravel and asphalt, stuff like that. And once it settles, then we'll get it repaired. Do you want to talk about the...
We got the golf course on the agenda.
Okay.
The LDS on the agenda.
Okay. All right. But other than that, I mean, I turned in my report. Is there anything y'all have any questions about?
Nope. Okay. Saw the report. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Rec department.
Good
Nikki.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm actually speaking tonight on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce. As you know, I'm the liaison for the board of directors there. And I sent you an email on Friday. I hope everyone had a chance to review it. They have a proposal to kind of tweak the free summer concert series down at Fort Fisher, and they just wanted council's permission because our name is on that program and it's our, we budget and pay for that program. So they're going to do it like drive-in style and have people stay to the cars.
Now, my understanding on this, Nikki, and talking to the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce is that they do want to have all four of these. They do want them to be drive-in arrangements, whereby, and I do believe they're going to be limited to 100 vehicles. Is that the
field? They're going to do it in the big field on the left when you pull in?
In front of the stage, I believe.
100 cars are going to fit there?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so easily.
I don't check the number, but.
I think so easily.
Yeah.
After a few drinks, it's going to be interesting to watch everybody.
They only have to be six. They only have to be 6 feet apart. I'm only kidding, but so they are looking to see if we are willing to still support that.
Correct.
Right? Because
always one.
Did they give you an idea if it was going to be the same level or not? He didn't mention that to me. I don't know if they're looking for the same level of support in the money that we had.
Well,
dedicated to budget or if it was something
else. We prorated the amount we budgeted when they initially canceled the June concerts.
Yeah.
We prorated it to 2/3 of the total they asked for. So what he's asking for is still that 2/3 amount, so for 4 concerts instead of 6.
Okay. Okay, Council, there you have it.
Are they gonna enforce the people staying in their car?
Yes, people are expected to stay in their cars. They will be listening to the radio, essentially.
It says
really?
in here.
Yeah, in their cars by tuning to a specific station.
Wow.
That it cars, trucks, golf carts. So I think they would allow people outside. I imagine they would allow them outside, but close to their vehicles as well. Because they're allowed to get out and go.
It's going to be hot sitting in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the windows will be down, I'm sure.
And the logistics of it will be tricky, but that's not.
I think if we were going to. If we knew we were going into phase 3, it might be a different.
Yeah, when are they planning on the first one happening?
In August. And Cape Fear Community College and the Wilson Center have done them already.
Yes,
downtown,
they have.
They did 4 in June that were completely drive-in, save your vehicle. And that's kind of what they're mirroring, is the program that are wanting to mirror.
That is where the idea came from. They said they were successful. The university had done a few, and Cape Fear had done some. And,
well, I'm sort of with Alan. As long as we make it to phase 3, I'm supportive. But if we're still in phase 2, as August rolls around, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know how we tell them that in a motion, but because there is there an assumption that we're going to be in phase 3? I know it's only supposed to be 3 weeks from now, but
right.
3 weeks is in August, right? So
yeah.
When did the governor go to?
The August 7th, so the week before the first concert.
Right.
August 7th?
Yeah.
And that's the week before they actually do
it,
right?
Their concerts are the 2nd and 4th Friday, so it would be the week prior.
Because, I mean, if we're in phase 2, that's not.
It is a lot.
It is a lot, right? If it's.
It's within the governor's.
Phase 2 allows that activity.
But
whether or not we wish it to go on here,
right.
Is up to the council to determine. Or if you want to make it a phase 3 requirement, maybe a little harder to plan.
Yeah, well, that's the issue.
Well, the issue, you've got to get the band signed. I've got to get it. Well, sure, there's
right.
A lot of bands available.
If this is just brainstorming here, if we said it had to be for phase 3, then the funds are still secured for them, but they could just kind of alter, they have to wait to initiate it. So it may not be August, September, it could be whenever it's open-ended for them. But
I try to keep in mind that typically these concerts have been more locals than visitors who are not aware of it. So. That's on my mind, that would the locals participate in this? I mean, 100 vehicles, but you may wind up with 400 people. Otherwise, you better have some big vehicles, back a truck or something, I don't know. So what does council wish to do on this?
Well, mean, like I said, I'm supportive, but I think it should, if phase two gets extended versus moving to phase three, then they should wait until we're in phase three, I think. I mean, we're already pushing the envelope on a bunch of other stuff. Do we need 100 cars with people all going to their buy beers and then 100 drivers?
Just because it's allowable doesn't mean it's the
That's right. That's the smart thing. So, I mean, from my perspective, I don't know how to phrase the motion, but I think that, you know, we're supportive of the Chamber of Commerce having this event, but it should follow in with the governor moving us to phase three, in my point.
So the point would be that we will support it fully should we enter phase three?
I think that's my position, yes.
I'm good with that.
So I make a motion that we communicate to the Chamber of Commerce we're supportive of this occurring as long as the governor's moved us to phase three and the Curie Beach Council will support funding it in phase three.
Second.
Any other questions? Discussion?
Nick, he may have just adjusted his schedule out.
Absolutely. That's more than fair.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care when they have, I mean, I'll agree when they have them, as long as.
See, I mean, the point we have to realize here is they're just asking for the funding. They're not asking for the permission to do it. The permission to do it is with the Air Force.
And the scheduling of
the recreation and the scheduling is there. They're asking for us to support it. We're saying that even if it does happen, we would support it if they occur during phase three. Is that clear what we're saying here?
That was my motion, yes.
Right. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Yeah. Nikki, let them know,
absolutely,
please. And if they have questions, they can call us and tell them it's on our mind. And again, they can do what they wish to do, whatever they have an agreement with down there. But if they want our funding, we will do it if it's phase three.
That's more than fair. Thank you, guys.
I do have another
question. Okay, sure.
In your report, right down at the end, there's a upcoming event, a blood drive for this Friday. Mm-hmm. Is that on?
It is.
Do you know if... Can you just walk in, or does it have to be by reservation?
I know the last few, they were not taking walk-ins. Is this an appointment for yourself or for others? Or?
Well, for me, I didn't know if it was already closed.
I can check before we leave tonight if there's an available spot.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. Okay. Did we miss any departments? Okay. Old business. LDSI update?
Yes, sir.
David?
So Jimmy and I are still working on the five recommendations for throttle points for pricing, so we don't really have anything for that update because the department's really focused on the audit requirements that are due by September. So once we get finished with the audit requirements, we'll get back to that. There have been some questions from both Beach Walk and Curie Beach Village around the report, specifically regarding the sandman lots. So I'm forwarding those to LDSI to ask them to comment on the specific questions, and I'll share that with council once we get something back from that. And then just with stormwater, kind of tangentially from this, we have the stormwater committee reformed now. We've gotten names from the permit holders. Beth worked today to send out requests on when we can meet next week. We'll do a WebEx meeting next week because we're not meeting in person once we have when people can all be available. And then I'll let council know when that meeting is, so you'll be aware of that. The first meeting we'll do on WebEx just to make sure that everyone understands here's the permit and informational requirements from permit holders. So that's why we asked that the HOAs that had ponds be on that team. And then as we get communication back from that, we'll be building that into the plan that Jimmy's talked about earlier. That plan does need to come to council at the September meeting at the latest so we can forward that to the state for approval. Well, actually that's not true. So when we go to phase three, that's when the clock actually gets reset. Right now, the earliest that could happen is if phase three was to actually occur, and August 7th would be in September, the end of September. So if the governor extends it again, it extends when that time frame is for the town. But we're working through that. We'll meet again next week, and then you should have a report. It'll probably be about 47 pages of here's the changes, or here's what we're telling the state our program will be, and then the state evaluates that. We're using as a template the city of Newton, because of the over 60 towns that got audited and told they were bad, Newton has presented a plan and the states liked it, so we're using that as the template just to make sure we answer all the questions in our plan. It doesn't look like a lot of changes to our ordinance after comparing it to Newton's. Probably three or four minor changes, and then some changes on requirements, but not huge changes. So if you look at our stormwater ordinance online now, which is, I think, in code 13 on municipal code 7.1. Well, no. Sorry, 13. If you want to look it up, it's in 13. Flood damage prevention, 1320, that has our stormwater stuff, and then 7 has our charges. So if you want to look at where we are, and then we'll just propose changes to those two sections as we find work through the process.
The LDSI report, I believe, is available on the website for those who wish to take a look at that.
It should be, that's correct, right, Beth? The LDSI report is on the website now?
It won't be posted until after tonight.
Okay, after tonight with minutes, that's why we put it back on.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was from the last meeting, but I miscommunicated with staff, so that's probably on me.
All right. Any questions for David or Public Works on that?
No.
No? All right. Thank you, David. Moving on to additional golf cart parking.
Right, so you can either look in your packet. For those on the website, if you go to the agenda, you can look at this. We're going to talk about each of the beach accesses, and staff's going to bring the pictures up one at a time. So we're going to start at E Avenue and move north. And if you can make it, I don't know if you can make it bigger on there or not, but.
Oh, there it is.
E Avenue right now, there's no way to put golf cart parking in without eliminating the parking space. If council wanted to have golf cart parking, staffs are working with Mike Bowden and Jimmy. The recommendation would be that parking space that you see to the left bottom of the parking area. So it's east and west versus north and south.
Yeah.
You can eliminate it because there's a bump out in the barricade. If we wanted golf cart parking, we would have to eliminate that one space, and then you could put two golf cart parking spaces in north and south in that space. We're not recommending we do that, but that's where it would happen on E Avenue. So we'll go one by one. All the rest of them, we found spaces that don't eliminate a parking spot, and we'll talk about each of them. So,
but there's no problem in parking a golf cart in one of these cars.
You can if it's open, that's exactly right. The spaces we're talking about adding are golf cart only, and they will fit in the existing access without eliminating any parking spots. So at E, there would be none recommended by staff to have.
Nothing marked specifically for golf
carts. Nothing's marked specifically for golf cart.
Though they could park in anyone.
That's right. So if you want to go to the next one. So we're just coming up the beach. So this is F Avenue. If you look at the two red spaces, they are currently marked no parking, although when we did our review, someone has taken the no parking signs down and there were cars there, but there are no bumpers there. So we would recommend making those two golf cart parking. If you blow that up, the parking space right beside the ramp is that. There you go. Move it to the center. Thank you very much, whoever's driving.
There you go.
That is actually the handicap parking in F Avenue. When cars are parked there, you have a problem getting out, but with golf carts, you would not have a problem getting out. So, one, we either need to allow golf cart parking there or put our signs back, no parking. But either way, there should not be cars parking there because it blocks in the handicapped parking space. So you get two golf cart parking recommended by staff at FIV.
Okay.
And it's just signage and bumpers for Jimmy to do that, so there's not a lot of expense to do all the changes we recommend. But this is two at F. So if we want to go to the next one. If you can make it smaller, sorry, I can't keep up with you. So now, obviously, F, we're at G Avenue, right? And if you look at G Avenue, up in the upper corner to the left, again, there's no parking there right now, although when we reviewed it, there were actually cars there. We would make these golf cart only. Again, it's right beside the handicap parking, right? But they will not block them in because of the way you can back out and turn around. But with two cars there, if you had a handicapped van there getting out with your wheelchair, they were actually blocking the handicapped a little bit. Golf cart parking, we would keep them far enough away and make a no parking area so that if you got a handicapped van there, they wouldn't have any problems getting out. And so that would be two at G as well.
Well, couldn't you just run them all the way down that wall? That's where they've been parking.
Yeah, so the issue there is if you look at the spacing back and out, you could put them east to west, but if you do that, cars pulling out could run into them. So there were some parked back there. You're exactly right. It makes it tight on cars, and the police chief's concern was we're going to have collisions that then the police are dealing with all the time. They're marked no parking, so when they're parking there, we should be ticketing them. I'm not sure what our policies are on that, but it's marked no parking all the way down that right now. But we would give two dedicated golf cart parking places that do not add collision issues and do not block handicap parking.
Okay, so you're adding two spaces and a
restaurant. That's the recommendation of staff. Joe thinks there could be more there. And I've
parked there for the past month, so.
I'm just saying what we looked at for the spacing, so you don't have. I don't know if anybody's hit one or not, but that's the issue.
If you'd like to have a discussion with Mr. Bowden on the safety of that, we'll be willing to let you have that debate.
I'll have that conversation.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying that for spacing, so that people don't run it, is the issue, right? But people park all over the place that's not really safe spaces, right? So then we move to the next one. Now we're at, I believe I, right? G?
H.
Thank you. H. G. H. Yeah, I can't do the alphabet very well. So right now there's no, if you expand that, there's no parking by the bump out to the lower center on the left. And cars typically don't park there, but it is enough spacing to have two golf carts in there where that bump out is, and still have the same spacing for drive and everything. So we would recommend putting those two right there.
Okay.
On H, and so that's two on H as well, dedicated to golf carts, so they can always park in a regular space if they're open. We don't have any differences. Now we're at I. So I already has marked off golf cart parking. However, we believe we could get one more. If you look up in the corner, this is kind of a bad drawing, but right where that car is, two over, you could put a full car there because it blocks in the handicap parking, but you could put a golf cart there, and it would be parked north and south just like the car, so one more golf cart park space. That would make three in that handicap, in that access now at I, and then you could do one of two things. We recommend restoring the bicycle parking, because there's no bicycle parking in this, as Jimmy and I reviewed it. So we would put bicycle parking up by the handicap, but if we didn't do that, you could put one more there as well. We recommend the bicycle.
Yeah, keep the bicycle.
Is the bicycle rack not getting put back when we paved?
It's not back there now. We're not sure, Jimmy and I aren't sure why it's not there, but we think we should put it back. So I can't imagine someone took it somewhere, but it's not there.
And we'll ask a question off topic. That upper corner where the...
Yep. So Jimmy and I talked about that. It's been hit.
Yeah, it was hit.
It's missing.
2 weeks ago, Mike?
Yep. And so before we put it back, we were going to talk with the homeowner about his request. Some of it needs to get back, but not all of it. So because the pylon is cracked, we're going to have to pull the pylon out anyway. So we'll work with the homeowner before we put it back. For the property owner, it's not, I guess it's not technically a home, but it's a property. And then the last one, J Avenue. This one's the most interesting one. So there is no parking. We've removed the bumpers. That's because there's a telephone guy wire that goes there and because of the handicap access. So we believe we could get five into J Avenue. Three of them would be parked north and south on the north side. So that's the three red highlights you see. And then two would be parked east and west. And you can see the bumpers that we would put there. That does not impact any approved parking in this access now. I'm not saying that people aren't parking up there in those spaces, but they are labeled no parking, so it don't technically do away with any parking. And we do get five golf cart parking spaces by doing it that way. So that's the recommendations from staff after looking at all of the beach accesses.
That looks to me, I think there were 14 total.
I believe that's right.
14 recommended total.
That's right. Yes,
and I guess from my perspective, I would entertain the motion that says we accept the staff, and then of course you can speak to see if you can increase that, but at least we get it going.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Is there any questions on what David took us through here?
I've got a question. Down at N Avenue, did y'all look at N Avenue?
We did not. We just didn't, right? So I thought about it after I saw this on the drawings, and we just didn't look at it. So there's a number of weird things at the end that I just didn't look at it the same way as this, right? I mean, we'd be glad to if you want us to go back to that, but we can get moving on this right now.
I'm not looking at my handicap space. I just wondered if y'all looked at it because John Baxton Cleese is right in one section right there. Is it town property at N Avenue or that, you know, where the...
Yes, sir, it is.
So is that parking people park there, Mike?
To the north side or the south side? So I mean,
you're talking about that one area where there's just one room for one car?
I don't know. That's why I was asking which side we're talking about.
Yeah, it's on the... It would be on the...
Southwest side.
Southwest, yeah. Southwest corner.
Okay.
There's a house, and then there's our parking lot. There's a little grassy area right in between with the telephone pole. One of those houses over the years have kind of claimed that as their own private parking area and blocked it off, but it's not. It's all town right away. There's no easements there. I took measurements on it. There's enough room for two full parking spaces there.
Hmm. So we could fit four golf carts in there.
So it is town right away.
I don't think we could extend that, take that wall out. I mean, take that fence out.
That's what I was saying.
I'm not saying do it. It might be a good winter project.
Well, I mean, that's town right of way. That those spaces are there for the benefit of everybody.
It cleaned it up. It make it look a lot better down there, too.
So you guys are okay with people parking there? Because before we were not. When the guy was parking there constantly, so now we've been ticketing people for parking in the right of way.
Was that because the ordinance we passed was the right of way of his? One, you need to come up so everyone can hear you, practice on, can hear you, Chief. But so is that because I got to look? I don't know where you guys are talking exactly, but
it was last year, the year before, we had a gentleman that parked there constantly and it became an issue, so we had to move. But now we have. Other people have been parking there after we told him he could not. And
yeah, that's not
true. People. So we either need to mark it parking or no parking. I was under the impression, and it is town right away. So.
But is it on a lot? I mean, is it on somebody's place, lot?
No, it's just.
Mandy trying to pull it up for us.
Yeah, so.
What do you recommend, Chief?
I mean, I don't live next to it, so people parking there is fine with me, but I don't know how the homeowners feel about it.
Okay.
I don't see how it's any different than the 20 parking spaces that are right there.
But
I mean, why would park it, Oak Rock and park it and then revisit it in the wintertime?
So when we set it on the town right away in front of the houses, we actually passed something specifically about that for the homeowners, right? Well, yes. We talked about that, right? So explain to me why, is it because of the corner effect of this? Because council was pretty clear that, okay, if it's right in front of your house in the town's right of way, you can park there, but if you don't want other people to park there, we allow you to do that.
This particular instance is not right in front of the house.
Okay,
that would come up on in here.
The ordinance is worded.
The grassy area right there.
Pretty specifically that only applies to the front yard.
Okay, that's what I was asking. I just wanted to understand what we did, because that's... So their front yards are on each side, right?
This is the area that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that is not the property...
It's not
that's his, town property.
It's not his front yard, and it's certainly not his front yard.
Right. Correct.
This is all public parking right here, so it really makes sense for it to be extended down.
Okay.
All right.
And who's fence? Who put the fence there? Is it our fence? That's what I'm asking.
Is it that bumper fence?
The short one.
Okay. I was just making sure. Yeah, that fence right there.
Yeah, that's the town fence.
That's the town fence. Okay, I understand now. Right. Well, I mean, one, I think we should tell the property owner before we do something if we're going to do
sure.
that, you know, we're going to use our right of way. And I think if we're going to do that, it would be golf park parking. Just like the other places, mm-hmm. We're not losing these spaces. If we're going to add spaces,
there's four of them in there today.
Four
golf carts.
Those are
on the
grassy lot.
The grassy lot.
Yeah,
also, oh, so people are
using it. Now.
Okay, yeah. I understand.
Okay.
There's something parked there every day when I walk.
That's what the police chief was referencing. He's been enforcing it and ticketing people because they're not parked spaces, marked spaces. Okay.
For golf carts too, or just for cars?
No.
Oh, so you're ticketing golf cars too?
Yeah, they're 50.
Okay. I understand now. Sorry, I didn't understand that issue at all.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I'm slow, fellow councilman. Wow.
Okay. So why don't we deal with the recommendations so we can get started and we can take a look at this as well. Because if you want to speak to the landowners, actually the town, but if you want to talk to the neighbors, that makes sense.
Well, people are already parking there, and the neighbors obviously realize, I guess. Whatever. I'm fine with making a motion for the staff recommendation that I presented.
Yeah.
And if right. Council says bring in Avenue back next month, I'll be fine to do that with
the chief. I'm sorry if I threw us off.
No, that's good. Okay. I should have looked closer. It's been a busy week, but... So make a recommendation that, as presented, we add golf cart parking at the accesses that will not impact any parking spaces, and direct Public Works to lay those out and get the appropriate signage.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now, I would also like that we bring back N and any comments you have on the, what was the first one?
G.
That any is comments that you have in discussion speak. On G.
Okay.
For the next meeting.
I would like to work with you on both of them.
All right. Okay. Moving right along. That should make some of our locals happy. ADA transition plan. Mandy.
We've not had any comment, so we can move forward with approval. But we also need to have someone appointed as our ADA coordinator. When Nancy drew the plan up, her recommendation was the building inspector, Mr. John Batson.
I'll second that.
Well,
have you guys read this plan?
I
I've taken a look at it, yes, it's pretty significant, and I'm just wondering about if we want to give you your ninth job, John. That's, I'm thinking about that myself. So is that the only thing that would prevent us from accepting it right now? Can we accept it and then define the coordinator later?
Do we have to approve it tonight?
Well, I mean, we can, I guess, delay it. We can put it back on the, we can table it, I guess, right? I don't see why we couldn't, but.
Part of this plan.
But we have to have it in effect in order to continue with federal funding.
Yeah.
Right.
So part of the plan was deal with intersections and sidewalks and that type of thing. And that was going to be part of the walk audit that the bike pedestrian committee was going to do. And we sent this to everybody on the committee and asked them to look at it. Hopefully we would encourage some public comment because I didn't think we would get a lot. But if we could postpone it or table it until we could do that walk audit, it might shed some light on not part of the plan of the building. Then we can work out, we do need to work out who's going to be responsible, who's going to be the ADA coordinator.
So I'm with you on table, and so
I mean, okay, well, I'll make the motion we table.
But sorry for one recommendation is the mayor at the staff meeting have staff jockey for who they think it should be, and let staff come back to us with a recommendation on who it is should be.
Yeah.
And I understand every one of them is too busy to do it, but if it's okay, well, we need to. To have a part-time person do this or something, you guys think about what you propose to council because it's a requirement. We're going to fill it. I'm fine with you guys talking about who it should be, right? You know, all the department heads as a group talking about it, there's some of you that are pretty much out of the fray and then some of you that are in the fray and y'all can talk it out. If you can't reach consensus, council will figure it out for you, but
I'd like
think it's a perfect opportunity for them to do it.
The drawback for the obstacles we would have if we did assign it to a certain department or individuals, I mean, we need to talk this out. We know it's potentially additional work for them.
If you do it the way it's identified, it's a significant piece of work, and it's not a job for administration, it's not a job for finance. So we have to figure out how we would do this.
I make a motion to table this to the August meeting.
Second.
Bring it back at next council meeting. Okay.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to table this to the next council meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thanks for the work. It's not that we don't appreciate the work.
It's a significant and an extensive document. So, all right. Moving on to new business. Okay, a couple things. I received some communications. Some computer communications about speed limits on Fort Fisher Avenue to have a discussion about should it be 25 from Alabama to N Avenue as opposed to 35 as it is today and then going down to 25. Essentially, that would mean that the speed limit would be 25 miles an hour from, I guess, the, Cape Fear Boulevard or Cape Fear out in Carolina Beach down through the rest of our town. What are council thoughts on reducing our speed limit in that area where it is 35 right now?
We're not opposed.
John?
Well, I am opposed.
You're opposed?
Okay.
You're opposed?
Yep.
Is there a reason you're opposed?
You can't go 35 in the summer anyway. Well, that slows down in the winter time.
Yes, you can, Joe. And here's the deal. Part of the bike ped committee's task was to make towns safer for pedestrians and cyclists and people going through our town. And cars aren't doing 35. No, they're going a lot faster than 35. Americans have to
do that even if it's 25.
And I think it would do a lot to protect and make it a lot safer. If people want to go fast, they can get out on Dow Road and go that way. But I would totally support 25 mile an hour speed limit.
If we think about it, I mean, and obviously we need to think about it. We have... Just make sure we know what we're doing. We've got joggers. We've got people walking babies. We've got bike riders. We've got skateboarders. Maybe more. I can't think of anything else. I'm just talking about what I see going down that section of Fort Fisher. Given that, and houses on both sides of the street, does it make sense to be 35? Is 35 a convenience, but is 35 smart?
Where does it go back to 35 South at Chief or Brandon? I don't know exactly where it switches
up. H Avenue.
At H it goes back to 35?
Going
south.
So
it's just to the down, yeah, going south, yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember. I should know.
Comments? I think I heard.
If we're going to promote pedestrian safety and appropriate crossing of the streets, we've already heard that people are complaining about people being able to cross the street because of the increase in traffic we're having here. I don't see how I can do anything but help the community.
What's the data say on the last 5 years of people being struck in Kira Beach in the 35 miles an hour?
I don't know.
There's only been two, one under by Fort Fisher and one at K, right? People being hit in traffic in the past few years.
I only know of one, and they were stopped for a crosswalk. Somebody ran into the back of.
But that was at K, right?
No, that was at the air base.
At the air base.
Something happened at K, though, if I remember right.
One of the things when I was on the WMBO bike ped committee.
They tracked
the accident because they used that as their justification for making improvements in areas. So I know the data's out there. I just haven't seen it lately.
Well, Joe, if there isn't any more discussion to have, we can either say we're going to do it or we're not going to do it and have a vote on this. Or do you want to talk about it or do you want to think about it? What would you like to do?
It is a state road, so if we vote to try to make it a smaller number, you're going to have to get the Department of Transportation permission.
That's true.
I think they would probably approve it because they did for Carolina Beach. There is some inconsistencies up in that the northern end of town. Right after you pass out of time, that little goes back up to 35, and you've got to keep home and businesses up through there. As you come down Ocean, you come down Dow, you're at 55. Make the turn, it's 45 to neighborhood, it goes to 35. And then when you come to Fort Fisher Boulevard at the stop sign, and you turn and you're right coming south into Kira Beach, but you're still in Carolina Beach. Now it turns out that their 25 mile an hour sign is north of the turn at Ocean. So if I'm a new person, I come to this island, I come down Dow, I come down Ocean, I'm doing 35. I turn to head toward Kira Beach, and I see no sign. So the last thing I saw was 35, so I'm doing 35. In Carolina Beach, against their law, but their sign is, I don't get to see their 25 mile an hour sign.
Okay.
And then within a few blocks, I come to the Curie Beach, 35 mile an hour sign, down through the HOAs there, and then it turns to 25 for our business district.
Okay, I mean, those are good points, John. I did think of one other thing that anybody going to the beach in that part of town has got to cross that street, with the exception of the people who rent their homes or rentals, right? So the beachfront doesn't have to cross the street, but I don't know how many access points we have up there. So to the five classes of people, I want to add everybody that crosses that street. Just my view.
Well, the speed doesn't really bother me being 35. As I've said before to you gentlemen, I ride a lot, I walk a lot, I'm in the bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
I have been knocked off my bicycle in the bike lane by somebody turning into me. That's one of the hazards. Had it been 25 or 35, it wouldn't matter much to my little old body.
Mm-hmm.
Or my bicycle.
I guess if I had a pick to get hit at 25 or 35, I'd pick 25, right? So, does anybody have anything to add? If not, I guess I would look for a motion to do it or not do it.
Should we have a public hearing?
I'm sorry?
Do you think we should have a public hearing on it? I mean, you started off the conversation with you had gotten a couple of emails.
I think maybe two, but I mean, I've had people discuss it before about the speed along there, and I do think about all the things that are going on and the people that have to cross it. We don't have that many crosswalks, but we do have quite a few beach access points up there, private and public. So, I mean, that's the only thing I'm thinking about here. If we want to go fast, we do have Dow Road.
So I kind of like John's point, because I don't have an opinion right now, honestly. So it sounds like four of you guys do, and I'd be the vote that's in the middle, right?
It does sound that way.
Which is interesting. It's a good place to be, actually. I haven't been here a while, right?
So we're going to talk about this for a while longer then?
I would say, why don't we have a public hearing before the August meeting about the speed limit and then get input? Because honestly, I don't want to vote because I don't know which way to vote, to be honest.
Okay.
On this
Gun
issue.
To the head, which way are you going?
I'll flip a coin. If you guys make a motion, say I'll flip a coin. Honestly. So I would much rather get citizen input over the next month.
Okay, then let's have a motion for...
substantial enough people.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, I mean,
well, then let's have a motion for a public hearing.
I'll make a motion we have a public hearing before the August meeting at 5:30, right? Our meeting at 6, yeah, at 5:30, regarding the speed limit between Alabama Avenue and N Avenue.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay. How about at the other end?
I haven't heard anything about that. But
the lady that was on talking about Storm Fetcher would probably say it should be slower.
She was talking about right crossing.
Yeah, she might say it would be slower. I think it, I mean.
Okay, the motion is just to you. I'm just trying to.
That's what I mean.
We'll get feedback
what
on both.
About, right?
We'll ask for feedback on both.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
It'll be an interesting public hearing.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Okay. We'll have another fun discussion here right now. I have a definite opinion on this, too, and I'm sure the rest of you do.
I'm not in the middle of this one, though.
Flags on the beach strand. There have been some complaints recently about politically induced flags on a beach strand. And I think the discussion should be, some individuals would like to see them banned. I think that's a tough discussion. Political things come up maybe every second year, but what about a umbrella that says Pabst or Miller Lite, or how about a hat that has a name on it? I'm not sure where you draw the lines on this thing, and that's why I think this is a council discussion item. There are a lot of things that have names on them. T-shirts, hats, swimming suits, umbrellas, seats. I'm not sure that the flag is really something that should be different. I realize it's everybody's sanctuary, but if you have the flag and you bring it and you take it, it doesn't stay there. Maybe there do need to be some defined rules around that stuff. You don't throw your hat and your shirt and all that stuff and leave it around. But in any case, how do you all feel about that?
State owns the beaches, don't they? The state owns the beaches?
Yeah, we're allowed to regulate for the
we can
attorney.
Regulate it without issues.
Yeah. Some things, right?
I think you're going to get into a big Second Amendment issue.
First Amendment, but okay.
And I agree with John, I think you're going to get into what's offensive to me is not offensive to you situation, and then who's going to enforce it and how we're going to enforce it.
We're going to look at it like that, and then the street name discussion is going to get interesting. Yeah. Same thing.
Whatever, different. But yeah. I'm with the rest of you guys. We talked about this before, 2 years ago or whatever.
2 years ago.
My opinion hasn't changed, right? So unless a higher authority has regulated, so like there's obviously a pornography standard. You can't get a naked person on your flag and then take it to Kerry Beach because there's a standard for that. But for First Amendment reasons, which we all swore oath to defend, you know, I don't see where we would regulate flags or anything else, T-shirts or anything else in a public space, right?
And like
we regulate phones.
What's that? Exactly
right. T-shirts.
Yeah, exactly right.
And
comes back to a different standard.
Just like anything else you bring to the beach, you have to take it off the beach when you leave.
That's right. Or the lifeguards will pick it up.
Or lifeguards will pick it up and lose it.
Or unfortunately, Jimmy's guys might pick it up.
Well, it sounds to me like I'm not sure we need to have a particular vote on this. It sounds to me like we have consensus that we're not going to do anything about a flag on the beach or any other type of thing that may have a particular name on it, whether it be a political name, a product name. I mean, you're right. We swore to defend some of these things, even though some of the things that I might see out there I would not be excited about. And it doesn't matter which side of the equation you're on, right?
But you're still getting rid of them.
What?
I mean, we even
have to fly.
Get two boats, Joe. Get two boats.
Dragging advertising spot.
Yep. Okay, so I believe it's the will of council that we are not taking any position to ban that type of material. Is that where we are? In session?
That's where I am.
Yeah.
Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Alan? All right. Now, the last item is street naming discussion. We have had some inputs from individuals about street naming in this time of unrest between people of color, any colors. And I'd like to open it up to a discussion on that. As we do that, I guess I would, in reading something, I know you gentlemen have heard it, but I guess maybe for the record, I would say that there was, I thought, a very incredibly good article about this particular subject that said people should be allowed to honor their dead any way they wish, on their land or in a cemetery. That should be left alone. Places that are historical battlefields where both sides have fought, where men have surrendered their lives to a particular cause, whether it was a winning cause or not, that those are pieces of reality, parts of our history, that should stay as a lesson to what hatred and self-interest can do. The last item is naming something after a certain individual. And for me, I guess that is an open question. If you want to name a street after a particular person, that is potentially offensive to people who actually may live on that street. So, David, I'm going to look to you because I know you've had a discussion on with individuals on that, so I'm going to pass it to you.
Well, so first, I sent to council how Wilmington, New Hanover County, and Carolina Beach deals with issues like this. Not this specific issue, but renaming a street. And I thought it was kind of interesting that basically their processes say that 51% of the people that live on the street, because those are the people that are impacted by this change, have to, you know, be in favor of changing the name. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty, we don't have that as a process in Curie Beach because we haven't ever made a process, but I thought that was a good place to start. So then the actual request from two citizens via email to council, and there may have been more, I only saw two, was we would like the council to review the name of President Davis Avenue. And so I reached out to the residents of President Davis Avenue, which there is one household on President Davis Avenue. And I'll just read the owner response. So the one person that actually will have to pay if we change the name. This is their response, right? With this note, I'm following up on the very pleasant conversation that you and I just had regarding the renaming of President Davis Avenue. As the only residents on the street, may I just say that my husband, David Hart, and I are all for it. Indeed, we have often discussed the potential for petitioning the town council for this very reason. We have every faith that council will find an appropriate name, but would like to suggest one possibility. How about naming the street after the Fort Fisher Hermit, Robert Harrell? Alternately, and perhaps more appropriately, we love birds. Ivy's Lane has a nice ring to it. Best of luck with your deliberations. We're delighted that you're taking this initiative. I'm sure that we will be pleased with any alternative that you choose. All the best, Ann and Dave, and Dave Yoder from 210 President Davis Avenue currently. So from my perspective, right, we've had citizens petition council, we've asked the residents impacted, and they're in favor for changing the name, right? As the emergency manager, my perspective is that council's job is to protect the citizens, and there's lots of ways that plays out. One of them is to ensure that we take actions when we know there's something offensive in the town that could result in spending taxpayer or workers' resources to fix or protect, right? The sign is missing again from President Davis Avenue. We've actually replaced it at least four times that I know of, because people continue to steal it. It's the only sign in town that I know has been taken multiple times. So just from that standpoint, we're wasting resources to keep the name. I'm not really into the politics of it that much, right, personally. For me, when citizens say that this should be looked at, I believe council's job is to look at it and then make the best decision for our residents, right? So from my perspective and from talking to the individuals that are gonna actually have to replace their driver's license, to have to potentially change their survey names and all the other things that is a cost, they're in favor of it. So my recommendation to the council is we either come up with a process to rename the street because we don't really have one, or council decide to rename it. There's two proposals from the actual impacted people, but they're okay with however council addresses the issue. And that's where I think we are right now, right? If council wants to work on making the process, I think that's positive. If council wants to say this is the name and have a public hearing that, hey, here's the council's name, I'm fine with that. I don't know how we do it because we don't have a process written down, but I'm certainly in favor of doing it because we've had a request and the impacted people are in favor of changing.
I don't think we, I think we have to have a process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think
it, because it could come up again.
I don't
so
think
I
it has to be 50 some pages.
No, I don't either. That's why I sent you Carolina and Wilmington's.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of paragraphs that matter in there to us, right? But, you know, I think if council wants to make a process, I'm fine with that, right?
I agree.
If our intention tonight is saying we're going to make a process and then, or assign somebody on council or two people on council to come back with a process for August and then have a name, I think that's certainly where we could be, you know? But I think in the long term, we should fix this issue because citizens have asked for it and the people impacted are in agreement with that. That's where I'm at.
Any other comments? I spoke, David spoke. Anybody else have any points to make? John?
Well, I support what David was saying, what you were saying also. I support changing the name if people want it.
One of the outcomes of coming up with a process would probably be maybe it's flora, fauna, animal, fish, you know, and no people's names, or maybe just A, B, C's, D's. I don't know, but that should probably be the outcome so that there's guidance.
There was a lot of food for thought in what Commissioner Hagler sent us from the county perspective. We could draft some of that into just a Curie Beach process. I assume that would go through a public hearing at some time. I don't know if it would be codified into our ordinances and what chapter that would be in, like B and Z.
I don't know, why it couldn't just be a town policy? And we could just adopt a town policy on the procedure if we have a request. I mean, somebody may come up and ask for some other street in town to be named. But that way we've got a process to get through where we evaluate all of them equally and we treat all of them fairly and give the same,
Well, it would go in 1310, so that's street names. And right now that's a really small section, so it has four.
So we're just talking about President Davis Drive, right?
That's where I'm at.
That's where we are tonight. Yes.
Okay. So like I said, and that's why I said it very clearly how I said it, the emails from citizens of the town address that. We've had emails from people outside about other names in the town. And from my perspective and from looking at how Wilmington and New Hanover County and Carolina Beach has it, a resident needs to petition council. And then the other interesting thing that I liked about what Wilmington had is 51% of the people on the street that is in question have to sign the petition with the request, because all of those people have to pay. I mean, I don't think it's millions of dollars, but when you start thinking about your driver's license and your car title and your insurance, and you start dealing with that, that's a big hassle. I mean, just changing your address is a hassle, but then changing it in your house.
You got your checks. Passports. You got other things you have to.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's not free. And so I think that's why Wilmington and New Hanover County have it the way they have. Our street names section is really four things right now. It basically just says who's responsible to record them, and it doesn't even really talk about how they get changed. It says the building inspector should review them and send changes that he feels are justified to promote clarity of street designation. And then he reviews submitted for new subdivisions, and then from his official record, he issues listings of official street names for use by various departments of the town and other interested persons. That's all that we have in street names. That's 13.10.010 in municipal code. So I think that's where it would go.
Probably need to put it there.
Yeah, I think that's where it goes, right?
Okay, which one of you would like to work with me to bring back something for the next meeting?
I will.
You will, John? Okay. John, you and I'll take this one in. And see where to go with it.
And another important aspect of changing the name is the emergency part.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
You get that name and they go like, we don't have that on our
mind. Well, so that was the other thing that I'll ask you guys if you don't put in. If you look at what Wilmington and New Hanover County, no names are allowed to rhyme with any existing names. And no names can be the same like Maine and Maine, M-A-I-N and M-A-I-N-E, so that the police and fire can't get confused, right? And I thought that was a good thing that was written in there, right? It eliminates some stuff so that the fire department doesn't go to the wrong street or the police department doesn't go to the wrong street, right? So they have some stuff in there that I thought was really good.
Yeah.
That's why I sent it to council.
So that'll be the basis where John and I'll start with that document. So we'll be back. John and I'll take that.
Yeah, the building inspector.
I was just going to say, I communicate with 911 and county weekly on addresses and name changes. So it would be automatic.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The post office. I think neither one of the county or the city said, here's all the people you have to tell. That's the part that I thought was missing.
Yeah.
That I'm interested in who all you have to tell. Because it's got to be other people. Google, Waze.
Well, how do you get it to Google? Because we were never able to get our street that we made.
Yeah,
we were never able to get that located.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think that's the part that was missing from all this. Yeah. Waze and Google, because that's what everyone uses now, right? So I'm with you guys. There's some questions, but I think the citizens ask, the residents are in favor. I think we should just make a process and then figure out the new name.
Okay. John and I got it. Then the last item on new business, July 2020, Ports and Waterways. Alan, I think you wanted to talk to that.
Mandy, could we go to page 4 and then maybe just where it says FY 2020? Just want to give y'all an update. Every 12 years, all three beach towns get their coastal storm reduction, beach renourishment projects all hit at the same time. Just a little food for thought here. In fiscal year 2022, the estimated cost for all three beach towns is $33,900,000. You see the breakouts there of the cubic yards and just estimation from previous years on what they think. This is in best case estimates and with no storms involved. But this is what Layton came up with and gave us. If you see that ours is on a 17% match, 65% federal match in Carolina and Riceville are on 50%, but they're in a different approval mode because ours has been approved. So we're good out, and as long as our project is approved at 65%, we're there now and have got back to 50%. So we're in good shape. Layton feels like that with the balances we have, that our funding part of it, as far as the ROT money, is there. We shouldn't have any issues at all. And now we just have to get to work and do our job to make sure we get the funds available for fiscal year 2022.
So,
okay.
DWR is the state? Is that the issue? And that the funding source, DWR, is the state of North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
I wish they'd put state instead of DWR.
And there was money sent back. We didn't use all the money because we got some more federal dollars. So,
that's right.
So we sent money. We're required to send that money back to Raleigh. We did. They know about it. They got it to foot behind. So there's money there, too, for that.
Good.
It.
That's awesome.
All right. That's all I have, man.
All right. So good news is Carolina Beach and Riceville Beach will be back online. Of course, that's in the Water Act,
WERDA,
but we still not approved. Right, so. Okay, but it's a long, long journey, 4-year journey to get that thing extended. Okay, I don't have any mayor updates. Commissioner items? John?
No.
David?
So I'd just like to encourage everyone on the phone to remind your friends that social distancing, masks, and washing your hands are how we're going to continue to get through this.
Joe?
Take your census.
How much time do we got left to it?
To the end of October, right?
Okay.
Do we know where we're at?
Never ends.
Does anybody look lately?
I think we're at 38-39% or something.
Jeez. Even with all the simple links that we have provided?
Well, it was on the sign for a while. I mean, they can't make it any easier than it is, I think, once they put the pencil in your hand and move it.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable. It takes 7 minutes.
Right.
Alan?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I guess maybe I would add one thing to what you said, David, and that is, if you're an individual who knows you've been exposed or have been with somebody who has been exposed, please do the right thing. Don't be out and about. Please do the right thing. Okay. Any other comments from council? Then I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll move that we adjourn.
Now you can second.
COVID fatigue.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.